consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Klipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Klipp.
Hi, people. Thanks for tuning me in. As you may have noticed, it's summer. I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and today is the hottest day of the year so far. It's a high of 95 degrees with 95% humidity right now at about 8 o'clock in the evening. And I just spoke to a friend of mine in Phoenix. There he said it may be 115 degrees today. So it's summer. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, when I'm eating breakfast, it's in the low 70s with reasonable humidity. And lately, every morning, I've discovered the joy of eating breakfast out on my screen porch. My screen porch looks out over a golf course and a lot of natural area, and I get to eat with nature. This morning, actually, I was watching a pair of, I'm not sure if they were hawks or eagles, but if they were hawks, they were awfully big, so I think they may be eagles. But they caught something, and they were eating it, sitting on the ground and enjoying their breakfast about 80 feet away from me. This is the joy of a screen porch. Screen porches. The first question, if you are setting out to build a screen porch, is what is it used for? There are a couple of different types, and a side porch, which think of as a side porch on a house, is a solitary space. It's for solitary sitting and reading and just watching the world. That doesn't have to be very big. It could be 7 feet wide by 12 feet long. A small space just for you. Then there's the entertaining screen porch. There you've got a sitting group for, you know, a group of people. That needs to be bigger. A minimum size of about 12 feet by 16 feet. Although preferably is 14 feet wide rather than 12. And I've actually seen them where people have built them too small and they don't work. The next possible function is dining. For 6 to 8 people, well, actually the new trend today in outdoor dining is a round table, 5 feet round or 6 feet round, to seat 6 to 8 people. For dining, you really need, if it's a round table, about 14 feet by 14 feet. If it's a rectangular table, you can get by with 10 feet wide, but preferably 12 feet wide to make sure that the people are seated and you can still get around it. And then, for really gracious entertaining, sitting and dining, probably the minimum size is about 24 feet long by 14 feet wide. I've almost never seen somebody, you know, make a mistake by making the screen porch bigger. I've seen plenty of screen porches that are too small and really limit what you can do on them. Okay, here I'm talking about screen porches. Another subject that I'll get to later in this show is the front porch, and that's a different animal. Okay, a screen porch. What's important? Preferably that it's open on 2 sides. If you only open 1 side of a screen porch, it's really a room without a wall. You need at least 2 sides open in order for it to feel as if you're outdoors. And preferably, it should be three sides open. One of the things to do, if you can do it on your computer right now, is if you call up my website, which Stephen Clip Architecture, which you can do right from, I think there's a link right on the Voice America page. Call that up and then go to the portfolio page. On there, virtually every house on there has a screen porch. The first one to go to, if you go to the Twerskys, you can just see the outside of that screen porch. But it's open on three sides. All of the pictures open on three sides. And that really is ideal for getting out into nature. This case is also raised up a whole story above the ground. And you can look out, and you can actually look all the way down and see the river that's about 200 feet away from it. So preferably you're open on three sides. If you're open on two sides, it's okay. And sometimes it doesn't take being fully open, meaning as long as you wrap the corner, so your screen porch is open on one side, it only sticks out, say, 4 feet beyond the house on the second side. That's okay. If you wrap the corner, you get the feel of being open on two sides. So, and that's what you're going for, is that feel. The whole idea of a screen porch is you want to feel as though you're in the outdoors, but protected. So some of the things, let's see, if you go back to my portfolio of houses and switch over to the Coe house. On the Coe house, the last picture is of the screen porch. This is the most simple screen porch, is a shed roof. That's where the roof is highest at the house and slopes down to the outside at the outdoors. Usually, that gives you, means that at the outside where, with nature, your ceiling is only 8 feet above the floor. So it's kind of closes it in. It's not what I would prefer, but it definitely feels, if you're looking for a protected feel, the shed roof gives you a protected feel. The other things you see on that particular porch, well, there are lots of things to see, but it's really one focused to the outside. And actually, we'll talk about that later. Conversely, the form that gives you the most opening to the outdoors is one that's a perpendicular gable form. I'm actually not sure if I've got one on here. No, I don't think any of these houses have a perpendicular gable screen porch. But what that means is that the roof runs perpendicular to the roof of the house. And so at the outside, it's raised up, and you get this angle of skylight, of sky, that rises up, you know, much higher than the side walls of the porch. It really draws your eye out. It raises your vision up to the sky. So most of the time, when we're trying to open you up to the outdoors, the perpendicular gable works much better than the shed roof. If you go to, again, to my portfolio of houses and go to the Colrick house, it's the lower left-hand corner, and the third picture in there is the screen porch. You look at the screen porch there, that's actually a shed roof that runs perpendicular to the house and is open on three sides. It's actually really cool because it's not a shed so much as a radiant sun. That is a bow front that opens up to the water and to the view. You can do really cool things with screen porches. And as soon as I come back, we'll look at it some more.
VoiceAmerica.com. Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leah Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, welcome back. I actually got caught up. I'm jumping between greens, trying to look at things on my own webpage, the same as I'm asking you. So we were looking at this screen porch on the Colerick house, and it is, you can do really cool effects with screen porches. This one radiates out like a sunburst, and as the shed rises up, it rises up towards the view instead of closing down the view side. It rises up towards the view. It just draws your eye up and opens you up to it. Really a neat effect. But when would you use a shed roof? You'd use a shed roof when you want to have a quiet, contemplative space, somewhat protected from the outdoors, and especially when you've got an incredible view or an overpowering view. If you've got this really incredible, overpowering view, you actually want to shut down the screen porch some so that you can deal with it and you don't feel just overwhelmed and overtaken. And probably on my website, the best house for that is to see that is the Brown Bear Lodge. And the Brown Bear Lodge, which is my house up in the mountains, the last picture there is the porch. It doesn't have screens because up on the side of a mountain, up in the mountains, you don't have to worry about mosquitoes. So any place where you've got a good breeze blowing, you really don't have to worry about bugs too much. And if possible, leave the screens off. But the view there is incredible and is really kind of overpowering, especially overpowering in the middle of winter when you've got this 120-mile-per-hour wind blowing up the mountain. And you really want to feel a bit sheltered. That's what the shed roof does, is it gives you a feeling of being sheltered. And there are times when that works. Okay. The screen porches are by nature simple forms. And you don't want them to be complex. You don't want a lot of things happening because screen porches are also contemplative spaces. So if there's discord, your mind feels it. You can't relax. So you want your screen porch to have simple forms, straightforward, articulated structure. A structure that celebrates the form. If you're still looking at Brown Bear Lodge, Lodge's porch, that's a very simple form. It's a 12 feet wide by 36 foot straightforward rectangle with strongly articulated roof beams, a wood deck, roof deck that spans 6 feet, the longest you can really span a roof deck, and simple columns holding it up. Whenever possible, you really want an uncluttered look and you want an ordered rhythm to the structure. Soothing, peaceful. There are others. Actually, if you look at any one of the screen porches on my website, you'll see the same thing. They are simple forms. Although the Colrick house with that rainbow radiant shed takes the simple form and makes it into something that's really artistic. That's possible too. A couple of great additions to your porch. For this, if you'll, on my website, go to the Clip House. The second picture in there is the screen porch that I've been sitting in the morning and eating breakfast. As you can see, it's about 14 feet wide by 24 feet long. So it has a nice sitting dining group for six people around a round table. And a sitting group. Now, the great additions. The first one are skylights. Almost always, a porch shades the room behind it and shades the doors and windows that normally would bring light into the room behind. Skylights solve that issue. They also brighten up a porch and they reduce the contrast between the porch and the outdoors. If you're looking at the picture of my porch, you can see how relatively dark it looks inside compared to the outdoors. And you can just see one of the 4-foot by 4-foot big skylights that I use on that porch. The other thing, or the other really nice addition, and it's kind of the latest and greatest thing, is a fireplace. A fireplace on a screen porch. First of all, it looks great. The first function of any fireplace in the house is visual. It is a focal point. It is, you know, that draws the eye, makes any space seem fancier. What's great about a fireplace on a screen porch, it's also not just seen on the screen porch, but also from inside the house. And imagine having the fire going out there and looking from inside the house at this fire out on the screen porch. Really a great feel, especially for a party. And it visually pulls you out onto the porch. It's actually a wonderful thing. I think of fires. I've done a lot of camping in my life. And I think of fires, yeah, I think of camping and outdoors. So an indoor fireplace is closed up. You know, it always has a screen or always has glass doors between you and the fire. On a screen porch like this, it doesn't need to, because the floor here is concrete, or if it's tile, it doesn't burn, which means you don't have to have a screen in front of the fire. You can make it can feel much more like the campfire outdoors. And on a cool evening, to sit out there in front of the fire, one of the nice things too is there's nothing around this fire that can burn. So you just let it burn down, it's safe. But sitting out there on a cool evening is really great feeling. Having a party, and I've had some parties where we've gotten a great group of people sitting around the fire, the campfire outside, only it's protected from mosquitoes and bugs. The fireplace, if you do an outside fireplace, the fireplace itself should be big, massive. You want it to stand out on the porch, really be seen, a big box. But at the same time, you also want it to be as small as possible so as not to block the view and enclose the space. So a big firebox with almost nothing around it. If you're still looking at the clip house, my fireplace, it's open on two sides instead of just one. And I actually custom designed that copper hood that goes over top of it. The other thing you want is, while you've got a big firebox, above that, you don't want a chimney. You want the flue to be just as small as it can possibly be, so that it doesn't, make the porch seem enclosed. And that's what you'll see on this one is that idea. Think back to the Colwick house and that open, radiant screen porch. At the end of that was something even neater. There, we put in a gas fireplace because wood burns much hotter than gas. So if you do a wood fireplace, you've got to have the air chamber above it, and you've got to have the flue. At the end of the Colwick screen porch, it's open on three sides. So there's nothing, any heat will just be dissipated away because it's open on three sides. There's a back wall of stone to reflect the heat back onto the porch, but no flue. So you get all the effect of a fire and none of the enclosure that occurs from it. Fireplaces are really neat in almost every home that I do now, every screen porch that I do now has a fireplace on it. One last great idea. And in fact, if you're still looking at my house, you'll see it there. That's to drop the floor 18 inches. 18 inches, you always want to, as I've told you before, if you're stepping down, step down three steps, two risers, or two steps, three risers. So the natural step down is 18 inches. If you drop the screen porch 18 inches, it opens up the view that much more. So if you were doing a shed roof, now you've added 18 more inches to the height of the view. That could be 15% more view. On my porch, I was trying to get just as much outside as I could and keep it from enclosing the house. So that roof is actually 12 feet tall. And, you know, but that's unusual. Normally you just have about 8 feet. The other nice thing about dropping the floor, really good, is almost always there's another room behind this. And if it's the living room, you're sitting down, the furniture that's on the porch gets in the way of you enjoying the view from inside the house. So dropping the floor also drops the furniture. And now instead of looking out and seeing the furniture, you're looking out over it to the view. Really good idea. Finally, before we go to break again, question everyone cares about is, what does it cost? Screen porches, nothing in construction right now is cheap. Everything, you know, but actually you can get better deals today than you could have 5 years ago. Everything's probably, could be as much as 15% cheaper today. And I'll bet it's 15% cheaper than it'll be possibly as short as 2 years from now. But the screen porch, about the cheapest you could build is $75 a square foot. That's for a simple shed roof structure. If you think of a 14 by 16 foot porch, 200 square feet, it's going to be hard to get it under $20,000. A fireplace will add $5,000 to $10,000 to it. So a really nice screen porch is probably going to run you $100 to $125 a square foot. And in places where labor costs are high, you know, it escalates a bit. But so that normal 14 by 16 porch done really nicely with a fireplace on it, just a wonderful place to be, you're probably looking at, could be $40,000. And it's probably a good investment and will pay you back in enjoyment and pay you back on resale too. It really is a big seller. It's a nice porch. When we come back, talk about the front porch.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, I was just reminded again, actually, the engineer I'm working with talked about how he walked out the back door of his house and saw the screen porch, and that's what sold them on the house. So when you're looking at the cost of doing it, adding a screen porch and the cost, you've got two benefits. One is just the enjoyment of the space, and the other is that quite often it helps sell the house. So a good thing. Now the front porch. The front porch is a different animal. It has whole different rules than the screen porch. First of all, you think of it as a window on the world. And the second is, it's a welcome to your guests. A house with a porch on the front appears more friendly. It's friendly and welcoming. If you think about the farmhouse is the one that comes to mind. It's an intermediate step. That front porch is an intermediate step. And while you're, oh boy, how do you explain this? I'll contrast it and start with the opposite. If you contrast it with a Georgian is a formal brick house. And all it has is a small miserly front porch. Just enough space to have you undercover from the rain. And that's it. It's enough to shelter you. But the whole idea on the Georgian is there's no place to sit or get comfortable on the front porch. So it keeps you uncomfortable and asking to be admitted to the house. Even worse than that is up in New England, quite often on the salt boxes, they won't even put a front porch because they really want you to be uncomfortable if you are coming to the front door of the house. Now, opposite is the farmhouse. They're friendly and open, and you've got this space before you get into the house that is semi-public. It's not inside and closed off, but it's not totally public. You can see it. You can visually enter it. You have to be invited to step up onto the porch. But it also feels as though that invitation is forthcoming. All you have to do is show up, and you'll be invited onto the porch into the start of the house. So it's open and welcome. It's also the opposite. It's a window on the world. My grandfather worked as a carpenter and a contractor. And he'd get home from work. He'd take his paper and his coffee, or his beer, but I think it was coffee in his case. And he'd sit out on the front porch until it was dark. he'd read his paper, and he'd watch his neighborhood, you know, as he was 50 feet off the street, so it was fairly close. But he could sit there and greet friends, see what's going on, and be involved with the people around him. If a screen porch on the back of a house is a private outdoor room, the front porch is public. On the front porch, all the activity and all the view is looking out to your greater world and also somewhat inviting them in. It's like my grandfather sitting on the porch. If a friend walked down the street, he'd call out to him and visually or actually physically invite him up for a chat. Okay. The front porch looking out should be relatively narrow. Often what I see on these new houses where they don't understand it is the front porch is only 3 or 4 or 5 feet wide. Well, 5 feet is barely wide enough to put a chair or a rocker with no space around it. So it really doesn't function well. 6 feet wide allow someone to sit in a chair and someone else to walk around them. That's good. 7 feet is optimum. With 7 feet, you can have a couple of comfortable chairs out there with a table in between to put your paper and your beer. And it must be, okay, plus plenty of space for walking around. The other thing 7 feet wide allows is room for a porch swing. Quintessentially, when we think of front porches, we think of the porch swing. And 7 feet allows that. The swing has to be perpendicular to the house. If you think of swinging a porch swing and there's a solid wall behind you, there's always the fear of hitting it. So it should be perpendicular to the house. And it works best on the side that doesn't have, you know, that's open to the outdoors. Okay, let's see. If you get wider than 7 feet, then you start to feel like an outdoor room where you can place furniture in an L shape or place chairs to the outside facing in towards the house. That's an outdoor room. That's, you're not really looking out at the world. You're having a private space. It just is on the front of the house. So it doesn't make sense to get a really wide front porch. That does work though for a side porch. And often you'll see a side porch that has some visibility from the street, but it still is private enough that you can have it, you know, as a screen porch or as a private sitting group. And how long should a porch be? If you think about it, right in front of the front door, you need 6 feet of width. That is nothing other than the space for someone to step up to the front door and wait to be received. If you have two chairs and a table, that takes up about 8 feet. So the minimum porch length that works is 14 feet. If you've got less than that, it really doesn't work. 14 feet works. And from there, it's as long as you want. A porch swing by itself takes up 6 feet of length. So if you have the two chairs, the front door area, the two chairs, and then a porch swing, you need at least 20 feet of length to fit it all in. Preferably two, just like on a screen porch, at least two sides should be open. If there's only one side open to the front of the house and the sides ends are both closed in by house, it doesn't feel open. It doesn't feel as though you're outside. Again, you're in a room with one wall missing. so it should have at least two sides open. The real quintessential front porches occurred in Victorian times. And think about a Victorian front porch. What was happening in Victorian times is that people were discovering leisure. Up until then, the basic person's life was work 6.5 days a week with time off for church on Sunday. Victorian times, they started discovering leisure, and they also started becoming more social. The women had more time. Housework wasn't nearly as difficult as it used to be. And people, you know, started entertaining their neighbors, started reaching out to the larger community. Plus, there was no air conditioning. So a Victorian house really is where you start to see great porches, the ultimate front porches. And even extending that a step further, think of the Grand Victorian vacation hotels. The whole idea there is a front porch 200 feet long, filled with rocking chairs. And part of the entertainment was sitting out on the front porch, again, watching the world go by and relaxing. The, you know, that was the Victorian. The big Victorian homes really followed the same idea. It's a long porch across the whole front and wrapping at least one side. What's the value of wrapping the porch around the side? Is that you have a choice of sitting in the sun in the morning and sitting in shade in the afternoon. So especially before there was air conditioning, wrapping the porch gave you the option of, you know, of sitting in the sun or the shade and following the shade around the house. Also, the idea of the porch as a welcoming gesture to the world. You wrap it around two sides, it's twice as welcoming. Let's see, when we come back, we're about to go to break, and when we come back, I'll wrap up porches, front porches.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787. Hello? And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing. How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. Before we wrap up this whole front porch thing, there's one exception to my rule that they should be narrow and focused out at the world. And that is what we saw in Victorian times, was that the people really were social and they had no air conditioning. So at the end of this wraparound porch, you would find essentially an outdoor room. It would be a big area, a porch big enough for a full seating group, at least 16 feet by 16 feet. And the Victorian family would do quite a bit of living out there. And often it was right on the street, close to the street. And part of it was the whole idea, again, their friends would walk down the street, they'd get invited up on the porch. But it was a inward-focusing sitting group or living area on the front of the house, and they were just fine with the idea that their neighbors could see what they were doing. And hopefully, they were fine with the idea of their neighbors participating. I use that idea even today. The quintessential essence of that outdoor room on the front is the gazebo. It is almost always is an eight-sided, almost round gazebo at the end of the porch that really is a neat form and gives a lot of character to the house. At the same time, it puts this outdoor room. And one house I did, it's not on my website, has, well, it's a 9,000 square foot farmhouse. So, but on the front, it has a 90 foot long porch capped by an 18 foot diameter gazebo, outdoor sitting room. Really neat, really great idea. Before we go back, and I'm reminded, trying to think of all the different things on porches that I like. But if you go back to my website and go to the portfolio and then look at the Snydow house. The Snydow house, the center picture is of the screen porch. That is probably one of the ultimate porches that I could ever imagine. In concept, it's a screen porch on the back of the house. But because we're kind of uphill and it catches a strong breeze through it, there are no screens. And hopefully, there never will be screens. One of the things that helps with that is to put in ceiling fans that basically not only move the air, but they also blow the bugs out. If you're looking at that porch, it involves everything I've talked to you about screen porches. It's, first of all, the roof is perpendicular to the house. So as you look to the outside, it rises up high and draws your eye up to, up to the sky. Plus, it's open on three sides. So it's really open, really feel as though you're in the outdoors. The other things there. I talked about having a strong form. As you can see, it's a simple rectangle with a very strong form to the structure. In this case, we've got built in place heavy timber trusses at 4 feet on center. And they set up a rhythm and an order to the roof. Then you've got simple beams on the side. I love the end. The stone fireplace. But this kind of violates what I told you before. I told you make a great big fireplace box, but then you make the chimney just as small as possible to keep from blocking the view. In this case, I did it differently. In this case, you can just see through the trees behind, there's a house behind this. So instead of making the fireplace, the chimney small as possible to open up the view, I actually made it big. And because I want your eye to stop at this chimney and not go on by and see the house behind it. So I deliberately violated my rule in order to do a greater good. But this is a fantastic fireplace. And you actually step in the front door of the house and see all the way through the foyer, the center hall, the dining room, and out to this fireplace. Imagine giving a party on this porch, having a big fire going in that fireplace, and greeting the guests at the front door where they can look. It's just becoming dusk. They can look right through the house and out and see this fire going. It just draws them out to the porch. The columns at the end are also stone. So I've got these battered stone columns and this battered stone fireplace. Very heavy, big image. The intermediate columns, because the porch is 24 feet long, talked about. Got a sitting group and a dining group. Porch needs to be at least 24 feet long by 14 feet wide. In this case, it's 20 feet wide by, I think, 26 feet long. Again, it is a great, this is just a quintessential what you'd want in the screen porch. And this is a well over $1 million house. But even on that house, a porch like this sells it and becomes special. And that, I'm about to wrap up this this session and go to my website and look. Like I say, almost every house has a porch. And obviously, if I put it on my website, I think it's a really good porch. But also, if you have questions, send me an email. One of these shows, I'm just going to address viewer questions. And I think it's a great visual to be able to go back to my website and, point out examples. Next week, I started a venture about 2 years ago that I call Sensible Green Luxury Living. Most of the luxury living in this house occurs in McMansions, occurs in big houses, 5,000 square feet with 46 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms and that kind of large space, unless you get into the parts of the country where square footage, where space costs a huge amount, anybody who has the money for a really nice house builds big. What happens if you're only one person or two people? Do you need 5,000 square feet? No. Do you want to take care of 5,000 square feet? No. Well, this is how to get all of the luxury in your 5,000 square foot house, but in 1,800 square feet. How to get the really nice gourmet kitchen, how to get the really nice master bath, and how to get dining for a dozen people. Just all of this in 1,800 square feet of luxury. And that's what we'll talk about next time. And I hope you stay and listen with me.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.